praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, we worship you, we glorify you. You alone are worthy of all praise and glory and honor. You alone are most high God. And we bow to you in our hearts, in our minds, and praise you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We acknowledge you, Lord Jesus, as God. The only true God. The God of heaven and earth. The God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the one, Lord, who came to redeem us. And to deliver us from the body of this death. We give you praise and glory and honor and magnify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the name of Jesus. Praise be to the holy name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Lord God, He is mighty and He is able. His might stretches from corner to corner, eternity to eternity. He circleth and encompasses all and is in all. Through His wisdom and His might and His power, He rules. And we praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. Amen. In Psalm number 1, it says, blessed is the man. That's what this meeting is about. That's what these meetings this week is about. Being blessed. Receiving the blessings of the Lord. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're an adult or whether you're a child, the purpose of these meetings are to be blessed and to receive the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Tonight, we will start right here. Where it will lead, I do not know, but we'll start right here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The very first psalm starts off, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There is a world out here, and this world is ungodly. The Christian who seeks the counsel, the advice, the opinions of the ungodly is the person or a Christian who is destined to fall. Let that sink in a minute. To seek out, to go after, to seek or to find or search for counsel, advice, and the opinions of the ungodly is a sure-fired, guaranteed way to lose. And I emphasize fired. It's fired by the fires of hell. Now, we have said many times, but never in a meeting that I know of, but many times we have jokingly and somewhat seriously showed people a word. The word is therapist. Everybody's familiar with that word, therapist. It is used synonymously with psychology and psychiatry. Therapist. Very simple word. But if you look closely at that word, it's made up of two words. Not one, but two separate, distinct words. Write it down someday. Spell it out. It's the rapist. And that's exactly what it is. What is a rapist? A rapist is someone who violates another person. In the sense that it's most commonly thought of, a rapist is a man who would violate the body of a woman or another man, or a woman who would violate the body of a man or another woman. But it means to violate with violence, to take by force. The rapist or therapist does exactly the same thing with a person's mind. They violate the mind. And when the person who is seeking counsel from that therapist lends their will over to that person, their mind is opened to assault and violation from the pits of hell. You understand? They're open to violation and assault from the very pits of hell. Mankind has developed a set of rules and criteria they call wisdom and knowledge concerning human behavior and the way we interact with one another. All of these things are brought together under the guise of psychology and psychiatry and called a science. Yet my Bible warns us to beware of science falsely so called. There's nothing scientific at all. Not anything scientific about psychology or psychiatry. Yet if in today's world, if you do not seek out the counsel of a therapist or a psychologist, then you're not getting professional help. The Bible is firm, and it's just as real today as it was when it was written. Blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. To stand in the way is to be in company with. Blessed is the one, the man, who does not count as their friends and company sinners. I may have mentioned the other night, one of the new doctrines going around in the churches today is that if you're not a Christian, you're a sinner. But Christians just make mistakes. And that was brought to my attention the other day, and it was funny because I was listening to the radio the other night, and some advertisement came on the radio for psychology, and it was for raising children and teaching how to raise children and all. And it said something about people who commit rape, people who commit murder, teach your children that there are people like that who make mistakes. And let me tell you something. Rape is not a mistake. It is a calculated act. Murder is not a mistake. It is a calculated act. It is an act of decision. It's not a mistake. If I turn a corner and trip over a bicycle that I don't see, that's a mistake. An avoidable mistake. But it's a mistake, nonetheless. Are you with me? But to go out and commit a murder is not a mistake. It is an act of decision and will. God calls it sin. And it doesn't matter if it's committed by the Christian or the non-Christian, it's sin. Now bear with me, we're going to get in a little deeper here. What sets sin apart from a mistake is that to sin is an act. And you act out that thing with your will. For a person to say, I can't stop sinning because I'm human, is to say that if you're human, you don't have a will. As long as you have a will, you may choose. As long as you can choose to do one thing or choose to do the other. It's as simple as that. You may choose to sin, or you may choose not to sin. All right. So let's clear the air on that. When a Christian sins, it's a sin. It's not a mistake. It's a sin. And it's gone on long enough in the church to make excuses to condone it. Now my Bible says right here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I want to receive the blessings of the Lord. Do you want to receive the blessings of the Lord? Let me hear an amen if you do.
Amen.
All right. I want to receive the blessings of the Lord. If God says, blessed are they that do not accompany fellowship, make friendships or pacts with sinners or the ungodly, what are the ungodly? Those who do not abide by the law of God. That's the simplest way to put it. Those who do not abide by the law of God. If God says, blessed are those who do not company with them, then the opposite would be, unblessed are those who do company with them. Now, we have seen this week that to be blessed of the Lord, the first thing we need to do is seek God. Seek the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then these blessings will be added unto you. Now we have found also that in order to receive those blessings, we have to be under the authority of the head, which is Jesus, the head of the church. Amen?
We'll step outside and see what's going on.
We need to be under that head or authority, which is Jesus. If we're not under the head or authority, which is Jesus, then we, the body of Christ, have no head. Therefore, we're dead. Amen? As the body of Christ, the church, is the body, Jesus is the head. Therefore, the head must remain attached firmly to the body, else the body dies. But also, as a church, we are a building. And we're put together, fitly joined together as a building. Now, I was called of the Lord to come to Vermont and build a church. Not a church built with mortar and brick or with wood, but a church built of His people. Amen? When I go to be with the Lord, the handiwork of my work will be judged of the Lord. Shall it stand or shall it not stand? If I build my building that God has told me to build on sand, then it will not stand. Is that not what Jesus said? The foolish man is one who would go and build his house upon sand. And when the storm came and everything came and hit it, it fell down. But the wise man is one who built his house upon a rock, a foundation. We read this week, and we have studied this week, where the foundation of the church is the apostles and prophets with Jesus as the cornerstone. If I build this church on that foundation, then this church will stand. But stand where? Stand what? There's only two things I'm concerned with this church standing on and standing in. One, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and judges it, the church will stand. And two, when hell comes against the church, which we're supposed to be going against the gates of hell and destroying them, but when Satan comes against the church stand. That's what our primary concern should be. If our concern is to stand faithfully in the judgment of God and to not only stand against the wiles of the devil but defeat him, then the rest of it will have to fall in line. Amen? And the only way that can be done is by having Jesus Christ as the head of the church and the body of Christ and the church standing firmly on the foundation, which is Jesus the cornerstone and the apostles and prophets. Now, for years, people have been preaching against apostles and prophets, so if I speak about it a lot these nights, bear with me. If they can speak about it for years, I can speak the opposite for a few days. Amen. All right. Now, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man. We're in Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not seek worldly wisdom, neither does he seek the opinions or the commandments or the counsel of the ungodly, the non-believer. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He does not make sinners ungodly his friends. He doesn't do it. He doesn't stand in their way. He does not call himself one of them, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, I had a problem with this for a long time. For a long time, I had a problem with that last part. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I wondered about it and wondered about it and wondered about it. Lord, what could that mean? What could that mean? And all of a sudden, He revealed it and showed it to me. It became so clear and so easy to understand. He doesn't join clubs and organizations that scorn the Word of God. Years ago, I joined an organization called the Elks Club. I was seated in the club, in the organization. Yet the organization and the people of it scorn God's Word. Yet they claim to believe it. They claim it's of God. There are many such organizations who claim to be of God or claim to be right, yet they scorn God's Word. And if you're seated in those organizations, made a part of it, become a member of it, how can you expect to receive God's blessings? You can't. You can't. You cannot do it. I would not join any organization today that scorned the Word of God. I would not be seated in it. All right? I'm going to read through again. Blessed, and if I read it enough times, you'll remember this, see? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight. What does that mean, his delight? Have you ever received a present and you opened it up and it was just the thing you wanted and it made you happy and you giggled and you thought it was great? That's what it's to be delight. To be happy with. That's the thing you want more than anything else. Delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Now, when this was written, they didn't have the Gospels. They had the law. Amen? So today, the law is a synonymous word for Word of God. When you read in the Old Testament, speaking of the law, it's speaking of the whole Word. So, blessed is the man whose delight is in God's Word, and who meditates in it day and night. Now, let me fill you in on a little thing. Meditation in the Word of God is not sitting cross-legged on the ground with a big belly and a ruby in your belly button. That's not meditation in the Word of God. Meditation in the Word of God is not saying a cant or a chant or something. Meditation is to bring to memory, bring to remembrance the Word of God and to dwell on it, to think on it, to bring it together with all of Scripture. This is the proper way to meditate. When I meditate on the Word of God, I think, of course, I start with a Scripture verse. And then, as I meditate on that Scripture verse, I follow that Scripture verse throughout the Word of God in all that God's Word has to say pertaining to that thing. That's the process of biblical, scriptural meditation, to dwell on, to think on the Word. not saying it like it was a, what do they call it, a mantra or a what? Mantra. Mantra, mantra, putra, whatever it is. Probably putra is more accurate. But to dwell on it, to think about it, day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The psalmist in the first psalm wrote it all out. The secret to God's prosperity has been around for ages. It's been around all along. It's to dwell in the name of the Lord on God's Word. It's to delight in His Word. It's to separate yourself from the world. It's to not take on the counsel of the ungodly. To not call sinners your company and become friends with them. I know a lot. I have a lot of acquaintances. Some of you people have heard me say this before. I don't have many friends because I do not use the term friend as the world uses that term. I use the definition Jesus gave that term. The definition of friend Jesus gave is a friend is someone who would lay down his life for you. Amen. I do not know many people who would lay down their life for me. I don't know many people who would lay down their life for you. Amen. It's a sad truth. Not many people, Ricky Jr., would lay their lives down and die for you. And if they wouldn't do it, you cannot biblically call them friend. Now, if you go with a biblical definition of the word friend, all of a sudden you people out there lost a lot of friends all of a sudden. So you see, I can stand here and say, I don't have many friends. Looking at over the congregation here, there's not many in the congregation I believe biblically I can call friend. Huh? No offense. I think there's quite a few out there if that would think 4, 5, 6 times. Some of you wouldn't even think that many times. You just say flat no on the first thought. No way would I die for you. So I don't have that many friends. I have a lot of people I know. A lot of acquaintances. I got a lot of people I like. I like them. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to lay down and die for them. I haven't reached that perfection yet. And besides, what good is it going to do you if I lay down and die for you? Nothing. It may keep you alive for a little longer. But what good is it going to do you? Not a thing. Will it save you? No. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and if we accept that, it'll save us. His life meant something. Amen. Oh, He's your friend. You don't need any others. But by staying to this Word, if I have friends, quote unquote, who are scorners of the Word of God, who mock the Word of God, who are not following the Word of God, they are ungodly, they are sinners, and I throw my lot in with them, then as far as God is concerned, I'm